Yes, very proud father today. I've got my son and his family with me. And I'd like to say it's also his very first Father's Day. He's a father. And I'd like to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers and father figures. Mustn't forget that. And father figures in the room. This does not, what I'm going to speak about this morning, does not leave mothers out at all, right? But I just want to really delve into a little bit more about fathers. So who is the boss? While having their evening meal together, a little girl looked at her dad and said, "Daddy, you're the boss of our family, aren't you?" Father, so pleased to hear it, confidently replied, "Yes, my little princess." And a little later she said, "Dad, is that because Mum puts you in charge?" "But I know who's the boss in my house because I am. I am the head of the house, but my wife is the neck that turns it. I also wear the trousers, but she tells me which colour." But all joking aside, Father's Day goes back as far as 1910, when Sonora Smart listened to a Mother's Day message, a sermon in a church, and after the death of her mother, she, along with her five siblings, were brought up by their father, William Jackson. Sonora wanted to show how much her father had actually impacted her life. And in order to do this, she wanted to display the fact that he was a loving, caring, he made parental sacrifices. She wanted to know how courageous he was and how selfless he was and what a loving man he was. And when you consider this, coming from a, it doesn't say what age she was at the time, it wasn't until the following year, in 1910, and it was actually the Father's Day is actually celebrated, believe it or not, on her father's birthday. It's not a special day, you know, in the calendar that we plucked out. This is actually celebrated on one individual, and I suppose most of us would never have heard of the Sonora Smart, right? It was on her father's birthday, which was actually on the 19th of June. And we've got a lot to be thankful to our American cousins, because all this, of course, started in the USA. So the first Father's Day was held in Washington, on the 19th of June, 1910. Now, others also say that there's another lady by the name of Grace Clayton of West Virginia who should also be credited with the concept of Father's Day. After suggesting a day to celebrate fatherhood, hers go back to 1908. And this was after a mining explosion that killed more than 360 men. She argued that children needed to remember their fathers. In 1966, President Lyndon Johnson made it official, and it became an official day that on the 19th, wherever it fell, 18th, there would be a Father's Day, and that became a traditional day. And it wasn't until 1972 that President Richard Nixon actually made it a U.S. holiday. It's actually a holiday in the USA. Now, that was a little bit of history, but regardless of whom was responsible for Father's Day, I'm going to be very bold and say that Father's Day was actually birthed out of the heart of God. Forget the commercial side to it and think of the reason that it came about. In John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood." This is from the Message. The sermon that Sonora heard caused a reaction in her life for her to pursue something that would last. And in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, this is again from the Message. "All praise to God, the Father of our Master Jesus, the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He came alongside us when we were going through hard times. And before we knew it, he brought alongside someone else who was going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us." Grace Clayton felt the suffering of these children at the loss of their father, and she came alongside them. Fatherhood and motherhood, I believe, is a calling. In Psalms 127, it says, "Children are a gift from God. And sometimes the importance of raising children is neglected." I don't know if many of us know this, but there was a law brought out for cruelty against animals before there was a law brought out against cruelty against children. And the neglection to a great stage, this is why today you're hearing a lot of things coming up from the past. You know, people say, "Well, why didn't these happen? Why are these coming up now? Why is this happening now?" But these things, there was things happening way, way, way back that are having an adverse effect today, which is causing people who we may have looked up to, and for us to actually look at them now and say, "Well, hang on a minute. Something wasn't right back then." Because the actual safeguard of our children's were not actually looked at. And to be fair, should it need to be? If your child is a gift from God, what right has anyone got to tamper or abuse that child? And as I was looking at all of this and recognizing that the neglect that is actually perpetrated even today is what's having an effect on a lot of our young children that are coming up. I think sometimes we forget also that, you know, within our hands, you know, when a child is born, what we're actually holding is the future. You know, it's not just a cute little baby, because that cute little baby has to grow up, and that cute little baby has to have a secured future. And that's why I believe that the calling to parenthood is a very important thing. Now, I'm going to be brave and be honest. I was not the greatest father, I wouldn't say. I made mistakes, and I'm sure there's many of you sitting here would say, "Yep, I've also made mistakes." But when we realize our mistakes, we put things right. So Father's Day, Father's Day is given to us as an opportunity to express love and affection to all fathers and father figures. And the reason I use father figures, because there are some fathers who actually father other children, which are not their own, because of the lack of that child having a father figure in their lives. So, you know, you might have your own children, and then all of a sudden, you know, you will find, and I think sometimes this can be misinterpreted, that you have children that automatically latch onto you when you think, well, what's this child getting so close to me? What they're actually seeing is something in you which is a father figure. And to an extent, with a lot of the things that have happened in the past, I believe this is the sort of thing that has happened and it's been abused. And when we get that, the opportunity that a young man or a young lady comes alongside and sees you as a father figure, that is a great responsibility. That's a very big responsibility. Mothers are regarded as the sole nurturers of a child, while the father's role should be to help develop the emotional well-being of a child. Our role is to guide, support, and motivate and protect. You did not have a choice to be born in the family that you're in right now. You did not have a choice to be a man or a woman. Basically, you cannot change your family, your ethnicity, your color, or where you were born. At the end of the day, your DNA is you. You cannot do anything about it. I know I was saying to Paulette the other day, I know other people may say otherwise. Yeah, but people have sex changes, people do this, people do that. Regardless of what happened, if you were born a man, and I don't want to get into the ins and outs of it, you are a man. If you were born a woman, you're a woman, right? Your DNA is still what you are when you were born, regardless of what you do. It's like in parts of some cultures, people bleach their skins to make themselves lighter, right? It doesn't change the fact that they were darker before, because that's a chemical that you've used. That's not natural. What you are is what you are. I have a friend, and this is really, this really used to fascinate us. And he was brought up by his grandparents. Never ever met his dad until he got into his late teens. And all through knowing this child growing up, I looked at him and I thought, gosh, he's so much like his dad. Right, but yet still, he didn't really know his dad, and it wasn't until, like I said, his late teens, when he finally got to meet his dad, and they were carbon copies of each other. And considering they weren't brought up together, he didn't know his dad. They sat, if they sat and one crossed their legs, he would cross his legs exactly the same way. If one scratched, he would scratch on the same side, and it was like looking at carbon copies of a young and old version of themselves. And this is what I'm saying about, you know, your DNA, who you are is who you are. We can't change it. Along with others, I'm sure that over the last few weeks, you know, with all the terrorist attacks and things that has been going on in Manchester and London, I, along with others, was so outraged at how twisted the minds of an individual can become. Because as I sat down and I thought about it, there are people who actually believe and think with all their heart that what they're doing is right. They'll even tell you they're doing it in the name of God. I want to turn something around at the moment, and I want to put a challenge out to you. And just for a moment, I want you to consider this. You were brought up to never understand what it means, or the concept of forgiveness, the concept of tolerance. I know this is not the case in everything that we see going on around us, but sometimes I think we here in the West forget how blessed we are. In the fact that we have freedom of speech and we have the right to do whatever we want to do within reason. Even this morning I was I was looking at something I don't very often get on Facebook. And it was about a lady who, she was literally facing, going to be facing the death penalty because of her faith, because she's changed from being a Muslim to being a Christian. And we don't go through that. We don't have that to think about. We don't never have to think, well, you know, if I go to church today, will I be persecuted? We have so much freedom. That is one of the reasons I believe that our jobs as parents, mothers and fathers, is to be the best that we can be in order to secure a bright future for our children. Just like motherhood, there is no there's no manual for being a father. We hear so much about we do not hear as much about what we used to call a father's blessing. The nearest we get to it these days is not until a parent or a grandparent or someone dies and leaves a will. This is normally a very, very difficult time. But a father's stroke mother's blessing is what helps to spur your son, your daughter, on to great things in life. I know for a fact, just to give a little illustration, my sister, who just recently got married in Jamaica, and I had the privilege of giving her away because my father was unable to be there. And she has waited for many, many years for the right man. And because she's my youngest sister, I'm the eldest, she's my youngest sister, she used to call me a lot. And she used to always say, "Calvin, when a man says this, what does he mean?" And I used to say to her, "Tash, we're not that complicated, honestly." Because of the nature of her job, she's basically a bit of an analyst. And I had to tell her one day, I said, "You need to stop analyzing your partners," right? Because one minute I'd hear, "She's with this guy and everything's going fine." She says, "Nah, he's not for me. He's not for me." And what was happening, and I didn't know this at the time, she was looking for someone very similar to her dad, to my dad. And I never forget when she met this fella that she's with now. She said to me, along these lines, I mean, and she can talk. She said, "Calvin, he's tall, he's handsome." And she went on and on about what he was like. And then the last thing she said to me, "And he's just like Daddy." And I thought, this is the guy. And what it actually tells us is that as fathers, especially, our children look for models of who they see. I know someone who actually had an abusive father, and she actually ended up in an abusive relationship. And that's why the way that we are as parents is vitally important, you know, to the way that we bring our children up. Many of us, as parents, want our children to be successful. And I was looking into this the other day, and it was quite interesting, because success is very, very man-focused. And what do I mean by this? Success basically is about fame, fortune, and what I can achieve to make me successful. But the Bible uses another word, fruitfulness. And fruitfulness is God-centered. This is wanting your life to count for eternity. Example, Mother Teresa, Sonora and Grace. Sonora and Grace, they've left something that we're celebrating today, something over 100 years ago, right? But it counts today. And this is what our life should be about, leaving something behind that counts. And as I said, Sonora wasn't famous for anything other than something impacted her life and made her say, I want a day to celebrate my dad. And it became something that is worldwide. Her name is not important because that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what is important, she has left something significant, something tangible, something that, you know, some people say, well, ooh, we don't need to celebrate Father's Day or Mother's Day. But there is something there for us to remember because we are forgetful people. You know, we, especially us as men, sometimes we may forget our wife's birthday or we may forget an anniversary. Not that I've ever done anything like that. But the fact remains is here is someone who has left something, a legacy, something behind that many can follow. And we can say, on a particular day of the year, we can celebrate Mother's Day or Father's Day. So, my question to you is, what are you going to be leaving behind? As fathers and father figures, we must bless our children. And we must allow them to see all of life in the light of God and in the light of God's involvement in their lives. And I heard someone say this the other day. Sometimes we get put off by our children. You know, maybe not so much in our context because, you know, many of our children are born into the church. But when you, a fellow was saying that when you start praying for your children, sometimes they start rolling their eyes and, you know, oh, prayer again, you know. And he was saying that that is what we should be praying through. We should be praying through their ignorance. They don't, because maybe they don't appreciate it, they don't understand. I am the eldest of seven. And you'll be surprised. There's only two of us who profess to be Christians. They all know about God and they will all. Whenever any of my sisters have a problem, the first thing they will do, they will pick up the phone. They will either call me or my mum and they will say, can you pray? Because the seed is sown. And we are not to allow the rolling of the eyes or the prayer again to stop us from pursuing what God has ordained for our families. Even although sometimes we as individuals, as parents, we go through hard times, we still have to let our children see that we still put our trust in God. You know, problem happens. We don't just throw our hands in the air and say, well, whatever to that. Let's go and do something else. You know, look at it in the light of what's happening and say, you know, in front of your children and let them see the godly principles that you have to say, wow, I saw them go through some stuff. And it never ever looked as if it fazed them. Even although we know that it fazes us at times, because sometimes we feel inadequate with what's happening, with the circumstances that we face. But our challenge is to drive on through that and become and do the things that God has ordained for our lives. We're not perfect, and we never will be, because we will continuously make mistakes. The one thing I've realized is that I've had to get to know my children. I only have two, and the two that I have are poles apart. They're so different. So I cannot treat my son the way I treat my daughter, because they are two totally different people. And because I may treat them differently, someone might say, oh, it looks like you favor that one more than you favor that one. But that is because I know them better than you do. Whereas I might be able to shout at one, and I have to calmly talk to the other one, right? It looks as if he's saying, well, look, he's always shouting at that one. Why is he always shouting? Because that's the only way that one understands. If I calmly talk to them, yeah, right? But this is one of the things. We have to know our children and not treat them the same. You know, and by doing that, what we do is we will pull out the goodness out of each individual child and allow them to move in the purposes of God. I used to do this, and I used to have people do this to me. Make comparisons. I've learned never to do that. Don't compare your children. Never do that. Big mistake. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? Because they are them. They have their own DNA. They have their own purpose. They have their own feelings, you know. And we need to be able to look at our children, and we need to observe their strengths, and we need to also warn them about their weaknesses. Because do you know something? Sometimes we don't realize that, I mean, Paula and myself, we sit down and we talk about our children when they're not there. And we know the strengths and the weaknesses of our children. So when we're talking to them, we will always, always, always big up their strengths, but we always warn them about their weaknesses. Because you can always talk to someone about, yes, you're good at this, you're good at that, you're good at that. But the important thing is that little thing that they may struggle with, you know, they may be, like, I'll say my daughter, for instance, she's very over-trusting sometimes. And in that over-trust, it can cause a lot of problems. So we warn her that, you know, this is actually, it can be a weakness. It's not necessarily the weakness in her life, but this particular thing can be a weakness, because she very quickly goes into, oh, yes, I'll do that. Yeah, I trust this person, without weighing up the situation. So it is important that we warn our children about their weaknesses. As fathers and father figures, one of the most crucial things we must recognize is the importance of our words, what we say to our children. Unfortunately, for me, I've not had an abusive relationship with my father, but me and my father, we didn't gel like me and my mother. And that was because of my father's generation, basically. You know, children should be seen and not heard. You know, he went out, he did the job, came in, brought the money in. I mean, we never wanted for anything as kids. You know, and I could honestly say, I would say that I had a very, very good father. He loved us, he cared for us. But he wasn't a talker. He never spoke to us, you know, over certain things, you know, sat down and said, hey, son, you know, listen, look at this, do that, whatever. I'm very fortunate to have a mother that kind of took that role and was able to sort of help mold me into what I am today. So the importance of our words, what you say to your child, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's, we do say a lot of things in anger. You get on my nerves. You're a pain in the neck. You know, and believe me, I've said it. And many of us might have said it. You know, but what we need to realize is that those words register. I don't think my dad loves me. I don't think my dad really cares for me. So the importance of what we say, what comes out of our mouth, is very crucial. We need to also be big enough to say, listen, son, daughter, I'm sorry. I've made a mistake. And especially for us men, to say you're sorry sometimes, especially when they're little, you know, or even when they're grown, sometimes it can be difficult. But trust me, the respect you get from your son or your daughter when you can actually admit, listen, son, I messed up. I was wrong. I was at a wedding a few years ago where a father publicly apologized to his son for something that happened when he was back in his teens. And I tell you what, I don't think there was a dry eye in the room when he'd finished, because it was all over a stupid misunderstanding. You know, and a lot of things in life, if we weigh it up, it is a misunderstanding. It doesn't have to get into a full-blown argument. Because sometimes what it is, because everybody, I don't think there's anybody sitting here that doesn't like to be right. But sometimes in our doing right, we can actually be wrong. So fathers, when you speak to your child, whether it be a boy or a girl, recognize what you say to them carries weight. Fathers also need to impart blessings, spiritual blessings, to their children. I was actually going to write a blessing, now a father's blessing over his children. But the more I looked into it, the more I realized is that a blessing has to come from you as an individual. It's pointless for me writing something and saying, this is what you need to say over your children, or finding something that people use. Because a blessing does not need to be complicated. It can be as simple as, I love you. You make me so happy. I am so proud to be your dad. Simple as that. A blessing is not tied to a performance or an event. I've got a friend, and he's older than I am, and his dad still calls him love. And I don't mean it as, all right, lover, or anything. Okay, love, no problem. That's not a problem, love. And when we were growing up, I used to always think, why does his dad always call him love? And this is actually a non-Christian family. And I realized something many years ago after, you know, because we grew up together. His dad was my boss for a while, and then he took over the business. I became his second in command. And he wasn't the greatest son. He was terrible. On one occasion, he took his dad's car and drove it around and smashed it up. And his dad still said to him, "So what happened, love?" And it was like, hang on a minute. It didn't mean that he didn't chastise him for it. But what it was, he was a wanted child. He was someone, he felt the love of his dad. He did have to do quite a bit of work in order to get his dad's car fixed. Don't worry, he didn't get away with it. But the crucial thing was that even although he had done what he'd done, his dad still loved him. He didn't turn around to him and say, "You make me sick." You know, he didn't give him a hard time over it. He knew he'd done wrong. And sometimes, you know, I do this at work sometimes. When someone makes a mistake, they come to you and they go, "Oh, Calvin, I've messed it up. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. We can sort it out." The reason I say that is that I cannot be any more angry with them than they're already angry with themselves. So I'm just fueling fire if I just continue to, "Oh, you idiot, why you've done that?" Don't worry. We can sort it out. And it's in the same way our Heavenly Father is with us. He doesn't come and bosh us over the head whenever we make a mistake. What he actually does, he comes alongside us and says, "Okay, let's see what we can do to work this out. Let's work together." And sometimes it's through your brothers or your sisters. Sometimes it's a divine intervention. God just comes in and everything is fine. But at the end of it all, we need to recognize that God is in total control. In conclusion, we need to leave here in peace, looking for what legacy we are going to leave behind. Fathers, we need to bless our children. Mothers also. And if you've noticed today, I haven't banged on about fathers not being there, because everyone knows that happens. But what I'm trying to say is, fathers, bless your children, your grandchildren. And as I said before, mothers, you do the same. But there is an importance in a father's blessing, scripturally. Mothers, continue to pray for your husbands and fathers as they rise to the call of fatherhood. Because this is what sets us on the next platform for where we're going. So I'm getting to a point now where I wouldn't say I'm bowing out because I'm not that old. But I'm getting to a point now where I need my son to now step up and be the person God has called him to be. And likewise, he's now going to work on his little boy and do exactly the same. And this is what fatherhood is about. And it's exactly the same thing as what God wants to do with us as his children. God bless you. Thank you. Well, it's clear to